Father Gill, my dear brother seminarians, sisters and brothers in Christ, happy Easter. Today is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. There's a custom in the Eastern Church that I would like us to try to make the custom here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia during the Easter season. In the East, whenever one Christian meets another Christian during the Easter season, the first Christian says as a greeting, "The Lord has risen." And then the other person says in response, he has risen indeed," or "He has truly risen." So that should be our greeting, reminding us that the Lord is alive and present in the church. So let's try it. The Lord is risen. The Lord is truly risen. Thank you. Let's see how long you remember that, okay? We've been celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead since last night during the Easter Vigil. A young man was baptized here in the cathedral parish, but Father Gill tells me that 400, more or less 400 other people were baptized in our churches last night. We believe that the Lord has freed us from sin and given us new life. The way that's described in today's opening prayer, it gives me a lead into my reflections for this Easter Sunday. This is the way that prayer began. O God, who through your only begotten Son have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity. And then there's the rest of the prayer. So we're told in this prayer that the resurrection of Jesus unlocks for us, it must be, there's a door, you know, that's unlocked, unlocks for us the path to eternity, or the path to eternal life. And Easter is all about eternal life. Ordinarily, when you and I hear that term, we think about life after death, because when we die, we believe that we will have the gift of eternal life. But in the Gospel of St. John, eternal life is not only about what happens after death, it's also what happens to us now once we enter into the mystery of Jesus. Once we become Christians, we, from this point on, begin to live eternal life. It's about life in Jesus Christ. And that's described to us in today's scripture readings. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, which is the source of our first readings throughout the Easter season. The reason the church gives us these readings is the Acts of the Apostles is about the life of the church in the time immediately after Jesus' death and resurrection. So these are readings to teach us how to be the church today. And in this first reading, what we have is a passage from the Acts of the Apostles where St. Peter is preaching one of the first sermons in the early church to Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. Now, to understand this reading, we have to understand its context. Cornelius was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, but he was friendly with the Jews. And he was a man of prayer. And the Acts of the Apostles tells us that he was praying one day, asking God to reveal the future to him. And God spoke to him in a dream and told him to invite St. Peter to come and visit. St. Peter, who was on the roof at a town in another place, also has a dream. And in this dream, he's told by God that the centurion Cornelius is going to call him. So that's what's happened here. And St. Peter finally arrives at Cornelius' house and gives him a sermon. And that's what we have as our first reading today. Now, if you pay close attention, this was a reading that described the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think one of the problems with the church today is that most of us are comfortable with the first part of that reading, but we have not yet entered into the second part. In the first part of that sermon, St. Peter describes Jesus' ministry. He described Jesus' suffering and his death and the fact of his resurrection. And I think all of us who are gathered here for this Easter celebration believe in that and understand that. We know about Jesus' life. We've heard his teachings. We know that he died and he rose from the dead. But the second half of that sermon is something that has not yet caught root in our hearts. And that's the part that begins with these words. After describing Jesus' resurrection, St. Peter says this. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. My dear brothers and sisters, if you and I already participate in the gift of eternal life, which we believe happens when we're baptized, what that means is that we have a sense of a personal understanding of what it means not only to know about Jesus, but to be his companion. You know, the way it's described here is that we ate and we drank with him, and he commissioned us to be his witnesses to the whole world. And that's what it means to share in the gift of risen life now, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to know that he's not only know the fact that he has risen from the dead, but to experience that fact in our own personal lives, to be comfortable with him, to sense that he's a companion in our life, who even now walks with us as we live our life as Christians. Now, so many of us experience our Christian faith as facts rather than an experience of the risen Lord. Recently, I read a description of what it means to have Easter faith, and this is what that definition or description says. Easter faith means a readiness to encounter Jesus as a living personal presence in our lives. Easter faith means a readiness, that means an anxiousness or preparedness to encounter, which is a personal experience of meeting someone, encounter Jesus as a living personal experience in our lives. To really believe it when we say, Jesus is truly risen because I know him. I've met him. I encounter him in my life. So the question then comes to us, when do we meet Jesus, or how do we meet Jesus as a living presence in our lives? Well, for those of us who are believers, the presence of Jesus comes to us constantly in innumerable ways. We first of all meet him in the living Word of God. You know, the scriptures are not just the words of the past. They're words that God speaks to us in the present. The scriptures are the living Word of God. And Jesus comes to us now and speaks his word directly to us in our hearts. We encounter the living Jesus Christ personally in the church community, which we believe is his body. The church is not a building. The church is not just a gathering of people, although we are a gathering of his people, of his disciples. But we Catholics believe the church is the presence of Jesus Christ, is the body of Christ in our lives. And so when we come together in our church communities to pray and to worship, it's in our very gathering, if we are women and men who look for him, that we'll discover Jesus Christ who comes to us. So Jesus is coming to you and to me now, here. And when we gather on Sunday, we should expect to experience him in a personal way. So we don't just come out of obligation. We come with expectation to meet Jesus who comes to us, even if we don't come to him. We Catholics also believe that we meet Jesus in the sacramental life of the church. You know, one of the traditions of the church is the sacraments began on Good Friday, You know that passage from St. John's Gospel describing the events of Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross, when the soldier came and took a lance and stuck the lance into Jesus' side. And the scriptures tell us that from his side, water and blood poured out. And the ancient fathers of the church saw in the water and blood flowing from the heart of Jesus a sign of the sacramental life of the church, the waters of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist. And those of us who are believers know that we encounter the living Lord Jesus when we celebrate the sacraments. And when we were baptized, Jesus came to us and embraced us as his brothers and sisters and carried us with him to the Father, and we became sons and daughters of God. When we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation or confession, we believe we meet the living Jesus Christ in the sacrament who, through the words of the priest, forgives our sins. We believe that every Sunday, every day that we gather around the altar of the Eucharist, the living Lord Jesus comes among us. The bread becomes his body and the wine becomes his blood, and he gathers us to himself and along with himself offers us to the Father. The sacraments of the church are the point or the intersection of the risen life of Jesus with our poor lives. And in the sacraments, we receive the new life that Jesus won for us when he died on the cross and rose as a gift of himself once again to the Father. So we believe that the risen Lord Jesus meets us in the sacramental life of the church. We also believe that the risen Lord Jesus meets us in the lives of our brothers and our sisters, especially our brothers and our sisters who've experienced the gift of conversion, who have been personally changed by their encounter with Jesus Christ. Have you met Christians like that? Extraordinary people who have been changed by meeting Jesus and claiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, when we meet people like that, when we observe the witness of the faith that they give us, we meet the living Lord Jesus, who is inviting us to have in our lives that same kind of conversion and transformation and change, which is a sign of his new life present in the church. And we meet the risen Lord Jesus in our lives of prayer. If you and I would just find a few moments each day to make ourselves available to God, Jesus will come to us in our prayer and reveal himself. And through that prayer, give us once again a sharing in the new life that he won for us through his death and his resurrection. The resurrection is about new life, not only for Jesus, but for all of us who have been baptized. And that new life is supposed to begin now, not sometime in the future. This is the day the Lord has made, not some other day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is truly risen and gives us a gift of new life. There's a certain excitement about the resurrection we find in today's gospel, this wonderful gospel, a passage from the Gospel of St. John. There's an urgency about Easter faith, because in this gospel passage, when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and finds it empty, when she begins to experience the gift of Jesus' resurrection, what does she do? She runs back to the apostles. She doesn't just walk, she runs, because there's an urgency about the new life won for us in the resurrection. And what do Peter and John do when they hear the words of Mary Magdalene about the tomb being empty and they begin to experience the new life of the resurrection? They run to the tomb, right? And John, being younger, gets there first, and then Peter arrives breathless, and they begin to experience the new life that Jesus has won for them through his death and his resurrection. So a sign of the presence of God's new life in us is an urgency about our faith. It is not something that we just, that's just part of our lives, but something is that is at the center of our lives, something that enlivens us. We come to this faith in different ways. If this gospel passage would continue for a few more lines in the Gospel of St. John, we're told that Mary Magdalene hung around the tomb after she had told Peter and John about the empty tomb. And Jesus came to her. She didn't recognize him at first. It's only when he said to her, Mary, called her by name personally, that she came to know the risen Lord. And that's how some of us come to know the Lord, that we just hang around and listen. And we have some silence in our lives. And the Lord comes to us in his word, either in that personal prayer I spoke about or the word of Scripture. John, the beloved disciple who ran with Peter to the tomb, came to know the Lord Jesus' resurrection by seeing. Mary came to know the resurrection by hearing. John came to know the resurrection by seeing. And that's how some of us come to this new life, by seeing the presence of the Lord Jesus in the life of the church, in the good example and witness of our brother and sister Christians. But a sign that it happens is that we develop that urgency that both Peter and John and Mary Magdalene had to share the good news of the risen life of Jesus with our neighbors, with our church, and with those outside the church, that we become missionaries in the service of the gospel. And the sign that the Lord is risen and present in the church today is that you and I become those missionaries sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Can people tell by the way you live your life that the Lord has risen from the dead? If not, there's something wrong about us, not about Jesus. And we pray that he gives us the gift of transformation on this Easter Sunday, that we might run and share the good news of Jesus with urgency to those who we love, to our neighbors, to our friends, those we work with, all those that God places in our lives. Finally, a brief reflection about today's second reading, that passage from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. To understand this passage, we have to understand the context. St. Paul is writing a letter to the Christians in Corinth, who he had brought into the church. He's the one who converted them to Christ. And they were having problems because one of the members of that community was giving a bad example. He had taken up living with his mother-in-law. And it was understood in the early church that it was an inappropriate kind of relationship. It was seen as adultery. And in the face of that bad example in the life of the church in Corinth, St. Paul wrote these words. So let's look at those words and then apply them to the situation in our lives today. St. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough?" You know what yeast is? Those of you who make bread understand this, and those of us who have watched our mothers or our wives make bread understand it. You know, when people make bread, they put some yeast in it so that the dough rises. And all it takes is a little bit of yeast mixed with water, warm water, and all of a sudden, that flour and water is transformed and becomes something extraordinary. The yeast permeates the dough. It leavens the whole loaf. St. Paul then goes on to say, "Clear out the old yeast." Apparently, this Christian man who had taken his mother-in-law as his wife thought he could be a Christian and not be fully converted. He would be a Christian on his own terms. And in response to that, St. Paul says, "No, that's not possible. Christian life isn't lived just a little bit. If you're going to be a Christian, it requires your entire commitment. So if you're going to become a Christian, you have to decide to give up your sin and begin now to live that new life won for us by Jesus, by his death and resurrection." He goes on to say, "Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened." Now, among the Jews, they celebrated the Feast of Passover, which the Jewish people celebrated this weekend. You know, it was celebrating the fact that the angel of God passed over their homes when God destroyed the Egyptians. It was called the Feast of God Passing Over. And they had the custom during the Feast of Passover to only eat unleavened bread for the next 7 days. So St. Paul, referring to that original Passover, you know, the way the Jews were saved is they were told to kill a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and mark their doors with that blood, and then the angel of death would pass over them. St. Paul says, God did that for our ancestors, but, and this is so important, our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. You know, the Lamb of the Jews was a prefigurement of the true Lamb of God, who's Jesus Christ, whose blood saves us from the angel of death, who saves us from our sins. So St. Paul says to those of us who are Christians, let us celebrate the feast, not with old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you and I are going to share in the gift of God's, in God's gift of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's important that now we root out the sinfulness of our life, let Jesus permeate the whole of our lives, and to live as Christians with sincerity and truth. We ask the Lord to give us that gift as we celebrate the Feast of Easter. And we have the next 50 days, the Easter season, to learn more and more what it means to be Christians who share the new life won for us by Jesus Christ. So come back to church next Sunday, and the Sunday after, and the Sunday after, as we head towards the Feast of Pentecost. And God will teach us how to live the new life won for us by the love of His Son, Jesus Christ.